Welcome back to the latest episode of the Sandy and the Blowfish podcast. So happy to have you. Just like we're so happy to see the explosions after AEW Revolution. Yes. Nothing more exciting than a brand new episode. And boys, we've got some news.
There's some news to be had.
The very lovely Dak Prescott has signed a fresh new contract.
That's right.
And just give me your takes right off the bat.
Well, let's look at the contract first. 4 years, $160 million, $126 million guaranteed, $66 million signing bonus.
It's a lot of money.
He will make $75 million in the first year. In 2021, he will make $75 million. No trade clause. It's a bizarro contract.
You think it's bizarro?
I mean, just the way it's formatted, where he's getting all his money up front. In the last, 2 years, he's not making much. I don't get it.
Do you think that's by Dak's doing, or do you think that's by the Cowboys doing?
I don't know. And maybe it makes sense in some businessman in Jerry's head, but I feel like $75 million for 1 year is crazy.
I think it's a lot of money for his first year, especially since his first year is probably going to be his rockiest. He's coming off this injury.
He just got Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
His ankle was pointing the wrong way.
Yeah.
So he's going to the way that he had it, from his perspective, great job. All the money is front-loaded. If he is not very good, he's making a bulk of his contract early, and then they can move from him or cut him or whatever. I do think it's a lot of money for a player who just was Gordon Hayward.
But the problem that I have with it is Russell Wilson said less than a week ago, you know what? If I'm going somewhere, I'm going to four teams.
Yeah.
One of those teams, number one on the list, was the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
And they did not falter. They did not second guess. They said, you know what? We're still going to sign broken ankle Dak Prescott to an uber large deal. And knowing the news cycle, knowing First Take, knowing every ESPN show, the headline for the next 5 years is going to be, they should have pushed for Russell Wilson.
Is Dak worth it?
Is he worth it?
Meanwhile, before the whole, during the whole contract standstill, it was Dak is worth it. Give him his money. Dak is worth it. And now it's going to be like, wait a minute, $75 million for the first year? Is he worth that? You're going to regret this.
It's hard to tell, especially just off of an injury. If he would have gotten it prior to the injury, it wouldn't have been as, oh, does he deserve the money? Should he have gotten it? But now that he is just coming off an injury and a top quarterback said your name first in a list of teams he'd like to play for, especially in a division that's wide open. I think if the Cowboys get Wilson, the East is more theirs than it already should be.
Yeah.
They just need a competent quarterback.
But
Dak
is going to be fine, but every move he makes is now going to be on a scale instead of being like, oh, I mean, it's Dak compared to Dak Prior. What would Russell Wilson do? Oh, maybe he wins the NFC East, but Cowboys fans think they'll win the Super Bowl every year. But now they have a quarterback they think could have done it, and they won't get him.
I think Dak Prescott is perfectly fine. He had great numbers before he was injured. He is a very suitable quarterback. He does what he does, and he does it well. It's just the idea that I can't get over is that Russell Wilson, you can at least throw a massive offer, and if he says no, Dak Prescott's still going to be there for you.
Yeah, they had time. They had time with Dak.
They even gave him the 4-year deal he wanted.
They gave him everything he wanted.
We normally would go for a 5-year deal. And he's like, no, I want to be out before I'm 30 so I can negotiate for another long contract. It's like,
you could argue that the worst case scenario is that they make this giant offer for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson or the Seahawks say no. He ends up staying in Seattle or going to Vegas, Chicago, New Orleans. And then you have an insulted Dak Prescott, who is a free agent, who you've already franchise tagged once, who says, fine, I'm not coming back. And he pulls a James Harden and he just says, get me out of here. I'm done. like, I'm not going to play for the Dallas Cowboys anymore. That, I think that's the worst case scenario that I guess they were trying to avoid.
I don't think he would, because I don't know how many teams are going to take that chance off of an injury. Given that amount of money right off the bat, I don't know how many teams were lining up to do so.
I think there would be enough teams. I think that there would be enough teams.
In Dallas?
The teams that would be willing to pay him over $30 million a year. Not more than Dallas, but that's the thing about the free agent quarterback market is once you hit free agency, that number is going to go straight up.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think it's a lot of money for an injury, and especially given what they could have had.
I agree. Way too much money. But
especially once he's traded. Once Russell Wilson's traded and we see what it was, then that's really going to
You think Russell Wilson's getting traded this year?
What a beautiful transition.
I don't know if he's going to be traded, but if he were to be traded, I think then it's going to be an immediate look at Dallas being, oh, could Dallas have done that, and how much better would the team be with Russell? But I don't think he will be moved. I think he's going to stay.
I'm going to say it. I think he gets moved. Russell Wilson has given one good interview in his entire life, and it was to on the Dan Patrick Show when he was like, yeah, my line sucks. If they trade me, they trade me. And then out of nowhere, these four teams come swooping down out of nowhere.
That's right.
And I don't know why. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense why he wants to be moved. But we are in a era of empowered players in the NBA that can go wherever they want. And we're seeing it now in the NFL. And this is just the beginning of it. And if he wants to be moved, it's been shown time and time again that he can be moved. Everybody who says, like, oh, well, there's never been a trade like that that's ever existed. Yeah, you're right. But it's going to start existing real soon because there's going to be star players who are going to not want to play in Seattle or not want to play in Arizona or wherever. They're want to go to their ideal destinations.
And I get why Russell wants to move because he's been there since their last Super Bowl appearance. The Seahawks have made the stance that it's their team. They let the Legion of Boom break up. They've said this is Russell's team, and they just haven't done it. They haven't gone nowhere near as far as they went since they've been to the Super Bowl. They haven't given an offensive line in any of the years. The run game since Marshawn Lynch has been garbage. DK Metcalf is the only bright spot on that team right now, and I don't think that's enough to keep Russell Wilson in Seattle.
Well, the last good lineman I remember they had, they traded for Jimmy Graham those years ago. They had Max something they traded to the Saints.
He was
like the cornerstone of that offensive line.
I still think that he's far away from like Tom Brady was when he was demanding out because Tom Brady had been consistently given nothing. And then by the time that – and like they tried to do something for him, they drafted the wide receiver, Harris. Harris? No, that's their running back.
N'Keal Harry.
But Tom Brady said before the draft that they shouldn't draft N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
Because they were like, he's not ready. He's going to need 2 or 3 years to develop. We need players who will win now. They flat out ignored him. And Seattle has made those moves, even being in the back half of the draft, to say, okay, we're going to get you skill guys. We're going to go out and do this. The line has definitely suffered for it. I'm not doubting that at all. I just think that it's just such a weird progression how this happened. It was nothing. And then it seems like in a week or two, I don't think anybody would be surprised if he gets moved for a massive deal.
Well, it's not like he talks about it that much.
That's why it's so weird because he's just talking about it.
Well, a lot of the times when people just start talking about it, it's something they've just been thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy, he's a professional. He's a professional.
He's boring. He's boring.
He's boring.
He's the only
he would never. He would never say something like this.
Commercial.
He would never say something like this during the season.
Yeah, and I mean, well, I just think that he would not be saying this if he had not already known exactly what he wants. Like, is this a ploy, like, to just get a lineman and for Seattle to like make a splash in some different places? Who knows? But he knows exactly what he's doing. He is saying he has all of this prepared. He knows what he wants. And it sounds right now that he wants a trade to these four certain teams.
Which are?
Do we want to talk about each team in depth?
I mean,
about why or why not they don't make
them? We mentioned the Cowboys.
Cowboys, obviously, they're out. They have Dak.
Yeah.
They're not moving on from that.
There's the Las Vegas Raiders.
Which, you know, good roster, but that sounds more like Sierra's call than him to me.
Well, maybe. Maybe she wants to live on the Strip.
Close-ish, isn't it the closest of the three?
To Seattle?
Seattle?
Yeah. Like, it makes sense in terms of, like, she's going to go make the bag. Like, they got a good young team.
Yeah.
They've got
the transition
pieces around them.
Him from Carol allegedly babying him for all those years to then getting Gruden would be quite the step for him.
Oh, yeah. I think he's a Gruden grinder.
But wasn't the whole issue with him after the Super Bowl and all the grind is from the team, they said Carol, oh, he's too easy on him. Carol placates to Russ. Everything that they do is for Russ.
Yeah, but
I don't think Gruden is that guy. I think Gruden is going to tell him how he feels.
Yeah, but that was Russell. Russell was in the Super Bowl within, like, his first 3 years. He went to two.
No, but if you just had everything kind of planned to your liking, I think it would be quite... I mean, I'm sure he'll adjust. I don't think he'd get all down, but it would be quite the adjustment from being treated like, oh, this is yours, big dog, anything you want, and then Gruden getting on his back for messing up Spider 2i Banana.
Well, that's why I thought Las Vegas, along with Chicago, were two teams on that list that I'm just like, what? Why are they there? Like, if you're an elite quarterback who's trying to move, like Tom Brady, makes sense. Tampa, they had all those star receivers. They have a defense that was ridiculously good last year, even with Jameis having a 30-for-30 season. Like, that makes sense. But saying a team like Chicago or Vegas, who haven't really been able to show anything other than, like, well, we can put together a good half a season
Vegas,
from time to time.
Vegas has a way, way better offensive line, a better run game, and they have Waller and some receiving pieces. And I'm a huge Derek Carr guy, but I'd give him up in a heartbeat for Russell Wilson. And if the thought would be if Russell's playing in Vegas, defensive players are more likely to come, hey, we'll go play in Vegas, boost up the defense. And the team can just focus on defense since they haven't been able to really figure that out yet and just have their offense just locked up with Russell Wilson at the helm.
Did Russell Wilson have a good Gruden QB camp?
I'm sure he
was
did.
Was it a good interview?
He was a Wisconsin kid. Gruden probably loved him. He was out of Wisconsin. He was like, man, you're, what are you, 5'10", and you're throwing 3,000 yards in college? You're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... Well, what we can talk next about what I think a team that he definitely won't go to is the Saints.
Yes.
Because the Saints are in the middle of cap hell right now, and they're trying to claw their way out, which the salary cap being reduced by about $10 million is not going to help them in the slightest. Mm-hmm. Like, again, it goes back to the Tom Brady model because it's the only star quarterback that we've really seen that's been able to successfully go from one team to another. They have the pieces around to make it successful, but I don't think that there's any way that they could line the contracts up and be able to get the salary cap off the books required. But, I mean, hypothetically speaking, playing in a dome, playing in the NFC South, warm
Payton,
weather, Sean Payton, like
Mike Thomas.
That would be the most fun
Kamara, yeah.
playing scenario, I think, for him.
They'd have to. I mean, they've already made a couple of cuts, but I don't think they've made near enough moves to even be in the conversation to try to make a move at Russ. I mean, because then why wouldn't they be in the conversation and talks of like Watson or something? Like, I don't think that they're being. I don't think they're going to be able to really vie for a big free agent this year.
I agree.
What about the Carolina Panthers getting Russell Wilson?
You see, I wouldn't have a problem with that if they were on the list. I think that would be great for them.
I made my own list for them.
Okay.
Including, I had the Panthers. I had the New York Giants on
okay.
this list. Instead of Danny Dimes, you get Russell Wilson. Their defense is solid.
See, yeah, that also didn't make sense why New York wasn't on the list. Like, I understand Chicago, big market. Dallas, big market. Like, Las Vegas, growing market. But, like... I feel like New York should have been one of those teams. Like, I understand that they haven't been good.
He could supersede either quarterback in New York, and the Giants have a pretty solid team.
Yeah, people like Joe Judge.
Yeah.
They've got some cap things they got to work out. But, I mean, it's the same thing. If he would have mentioned the Giants by name, maybe they make an effort. And maybe in the coming weeks or so, maybe as the Watson stuff heats up, maybe Seattle has a meeting and then they talk about it. And maybe expand the list. He names 6 or 7 more teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just
kind of like how Harden was at the end. Just like, okay, you could literally send me to anyone. Please get me away from here.
He's John Wall is calling me every day now.
Do you think this changes the Bears' pursuit of Deshaun?
No, I think that they're throwing... I said this earlier. People laughed at me. I think they're going to try to send 6-round picks to someone. I think that is...
Would they send 6-round picks to Seattle?
Yeah.
Because
he mentioned you by name.
Yeah. That might bump him up to 7. Ooh. Russell Wilson immediately became the 3rd best Chicago Bear quarterback of all time just by putting us on that list. Like, the only reason why I see him going to Chicago is Chicago has 2 people who are very much on the bubble and need to do something big. They have said multiple times that they are willing to go after Deshaun. They want to go after that big name quarterback. They'll spend the money. They'll do whatever it takes to get him on the team. And I think that's why they're on the list, because he knows that that's a team that will actually be all in to get him.
So if the Bears had to send 6 picks to either Seattle or Houston, do you think him mentioning Chicago on that list would mean Chicago would be more likely to offer that deal to Seattle sooner, or would they still be playing for Deshaun because that's more of a sure thing?
I think it's more likely that they go in for Wilson because his name was on the list. I think that, I mean, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun also mentioned Chicago, didn't he?
Yeah, he did say, it wasn't like as...
I think he was pretty much, it was, his list is ever growing.
Yeah, it was the Deshaun Watson, like,
scratched was the Jets.
Yeah, because it was like, I want to play for the Dolphins, the Jets, or like, and then there was like one other team, and he was like, scratch that, don't want to play for the Jets.
Yeah, that's a good call.
And then he just has turned that into any team that could afford me, please take me.
Right.
I mean,
would you rather, as a Bears fan, would you rather have Wilson or Watson?
Oh, man, that's like... As a Bears fan, I've never seen good quarterback play.
One quarterback is better right now, but one could be better in the future, or couldn't.
I'd probably rather have Watson.
Okay.
I think Watson's better suited for current
the
NFL.
Matt Nagy offense.
I think he would do great in a Matt Nagy offense, if that's
but
even
isn't
possible.
Your whole thing with Trubisky is the reason he's so much better than Foles in that offense is mobility. So wouldn't that still... I mean, Wilson's now...
Wilson's
like,
still mobile. He didn't have a line.
I think Watson's elevated mobility... this is what Matt Nagy actually wants.
I personally rate Deshaun Watson higher than Russell Wilson currently. Just the fact that Deshaun Watson put up basically an all-time quarterback season last year while being on one of the worst run teams in the NFL. And that's the type of quarterback that you're going to need in Chicago, because we're poorly run. And as soon as you get there, both people are going to realize that they made massive mistakes.
I have Wilson over Watson because of Wilson's decision making during games is much better. I feel like Watson tries a little too hard to try and make a play when there is none, mm-hmm. and it burns him a lot. But Russell, Russell's on that MVP tear, he looked crazy good, and he was making all the right decisions. And I mean, of course, it helps when DK Metcalf is jumping over people to catch your balls. But
do you think if the Bears just said that we would accept every single nickname that he tries to make from here on out, do you think that would influence his decision?
Oh, if you say we'll let you cook, Russ,
yeah.
I think he'll
have the back of his jersey say Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah,
Mr. Unlimited.
We could be the Chicago Unlimited. I'm fine with that.
The Chicago Kitchen.
Either one of them in Carolina. I know the Panthers just had McCaffrey and Thompson restructure their contracts to make a little more cap room. So,
I see Watson as the
play.
I see
whoever
Watson in Carolina.
I think
Carolina is a team that is going to be more than willing to shell out a boatload of picks.
And the 49ers wanted Teddy.
They want Teddy
Mr. Two Gloves.
If the Panthers can keep McCaffrey and get Watson,
oh, I'd be so happy.
That'd be great.
We don't need to draft. We're not that good at it.
Yeah, and draft picks are overrated. I'll say it.
Anyway, a new coach wants veterans. They don't want rookies.
He wants people from Temple.
Yeah, you guys have the Temple.
You
have the Temple pipeline.
You guys are going to get Hassan Reddick from the Cardinals here.
If he wants to. If
former,
Matt Rule,
former
if
Temple
he
guy.
Played under Matt Rule. Matt Rule probably will invite him over.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a delightful talk about the NFL.
Yeah. Let's see. Wait a minute.
Should we just keep riffing?
We have to keep riffing.
Okay. Yeah, both guys are just really mobile, fast quarterbacks, and I think any team would be happy.
It's really
to have
about
them.
Which team can support the other better. Speaking of support, this episode of Sandy and the Blowfish is brought to you by everyone's favorite four-legged friend. You know, the ones that keep you off the floor. That's right. I'm talking about chairs.
Yeah! We got sponsored!
Everyone needs to sit somewhere. Why not in a chair?
Oh.
Now let's get back to this episode. What are we talking about?
Damn, that was a quick ad read for chairs.
It was a quick ad read for chairs. Thank you for
one.
Sponsoring
I don't
wanna, this
like,
video.
I don't want to supersede that or give chairs any extra benefit, but I actually didn't know about the sponsor. I'm sitting in a chair right now.
That's crazy.
Wow, and you weren't even paid for that.
No, I wasn't.
We're giving them free airtime right now.
Logan, what are we sitting in?
I'm sitting in a chair.
I'm sitting in a chair.
Wow. Did chairs provide us with these chairs?
Yes.
Chair brand chairs?
These are chair brand chairs.
Well, no brands here.
No, I mean,
no brands. It's just chairs.
Yes.
I don't know the how ethical it is to say that chair sponsor us if we say chair brand chairs, because I don't know if those exist.
There's probably a chair brand chair.
That totally that exists.
It's spelled different.
It's chair, C-H-A-I-R.
Spelled chair in any way like that doesn't floating. Get us in trouble.
Yeah. And that's the sponsor.
It's more like the idea of chairs is what's providing us with content today.
So thank you, chairs. We'll never forget you.
They're here to support our content as well as our...
As well as our
backsides.
Oh, speaking of chairs, I about fell asleep in mine watching the dunk contest last week. Ba-boom, Segways, sponsor us.
Yes. Next week we'll be sponsored by Segway.
I don't know about you guys, but that was probably one of the worst dunk contests I've ever seen in my entire life.
I thought it was an underwhelming All-Star weekend altogether.
I agree.
It felt like it was missing something. It felt like it was kind of thrown together last minute, which it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Team LeBron beat Team KD, and Team KD had none of their players playing.
Okay. I didn't ask you guys to prepare this. You are Adam Silver, Blowfish Management.
Okay.
Fix the All-Star weekend off the top of the dome.
Eric, I already have this fixed.
Yeah, no. I talked to Dave earlier. I was like, let's think of some ideas to fix some of these contests.
Okay.
So, do you want my All-Star pitch right now?
Yeah, give me the All-Star pitch.
Okay, so the issue with the All-Star game is there's no stakes. There's no bite.
Okay.
So I was trying to think what
didn't work in the MLB.
And I was thinking, they already do money, but... That doesn't help. I mean, you could do it to a charity.
They're doing charity.
But even if you lose, you can still donate to the charity. I think the way to do it is at the beginning of the year, every player on any roster has to pick a family or a kid or somebody.
I don't like where this is
going. And they have to contractually go into a contract where they can only support them if they are selected to the All-Star game and win it. And then for the All-Star game, across the bench is the one kid or the family member sitting in front of them, so they have someone to play for. And if they lose, they let down these people. It's the only way to motivate them to play good.
So, wait, so how do they let them down? Does, like, the child get it, like,
no,
the forced
only,
in an orphanage?
They can only come. Like, they can only come watch their games if they make the All-Star game.
But if they lose, they don't get any of the extra benefits. So if they're like, hey... Your family is going through a really tough time. We're going to pay off all of your debts and buy you this nice house. Only if we win. So if they lose, they're going to have to sign into a contract with it. And if they lose, the kid just looks at them and there's like, there's nothing I can do.
Oh,
like,
that'd be good.
Sorry, I let you down. And we do that every year until people really start playing for this game.
Should we
do family or should we make it like a Big Brother program? Where it's like just some
random kid. My dream is it's just like kids cheering so hard and so loud for these players that they love. Because like ideally you do it from like a kid from your area. Like LeBron would pick some kid in Akron. And he loves LeBron. He's cheering. LeBron bricks the game winner and just has to look at that kid and be like, I'm really sorry.
See, but the thing at the end of the day is, wait, time out. So the kids, they get to like come to the game. They're specifically cheering them on. What if it's like Brooke, like how it was this last year, where it was just a blowout, like not even close? Are they like apologizing at halftime? Are they like,
well, that's the motivation. The motivation is because the kids are there, it won't be a blowout.
Yeah, you got to think they'll play harder.
Kyrie Irving's not going to skip the game. KD's not going to skip the game.
No players are going to be like, hey, let me win because my cause is more noble, because they're all going to have to pick noble causes.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it a lot.
I think that, because it's the only way, because you can't do money. If it's charity, even if you lose, you can donate to charity. It's fine. This is the only way to really get players to bite. My other plan was to make them all buy in, but then it makes it so younger players have a harder time doing that.
It's like Zion can't afford to go in yet.
Yeah, it's like $30 million, winner take all. And then $30 million per player. And
oh, that'd
like
be good.
It's like, I don't want to do that.
Zion has like a GoFundMe.
I don't have the bankroll.
Yeah. Do you guys have any suggestions to fix the dunk contest?
The dunk contest, every year since like Zach LaVine won it, it's just been four random guys that... Cassius Stanley participated in this year's. He hasn't dunked in a game.
I didn't know who he was.
So
I didn't know how.
My way to fix the dunk contest is the only participants are also in the All-Star game. Only All-Stars can be in the dunk contest.
I like that a lot.
So you know the guy who's dunking, and you know, we'll finally see if LeBron can't chicken out of it. LeBron will finally do one. You get Zion in one. It's easy enough to get them to do the three-point contest. Mm-hmm. I think the three-point contest is their best contest.
Contest, I think, is fine.
Yeah, I don't have any changes.
Unless you make the rim explode at the end of the three-point contest.
Or you cover the ball in barbed wire.
I think the dunk contest did a good thing in terms of the judges were all former winners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a cool thing.
Don't have Dwayne Wade thrown out of
the Dwayne Wade was he was just commentating.
They need to make Vince Carter like the king of the event too. Like, yeah. Give him a king. My thing with the dunk contest is we need to stop doing it for a little while.
Oh, you think, and then have a Vince Carter to bring it back?
But just give it some time away. Nobody wants to really do it. All the great dunkers don't want to do it. Give it some time and then make it a big, prestigious welcome back.
Anthony Simmons won, and he did three same dunks.
The blow out the candle was fine, or the kiss the rim.
He did not kiss the rim.
He didn't kiss it.
Yeah, because he's not gonna maim himself.
I know, but that
it would make a great dunk. Automatic 50.
No,
like,
don't do a kiss the rim dunk unless you're macking the rim.
Okay,
that's my take.
Blowfish management. Can I jump in?
Put in a mouth guard and kiss the rim.
Okay, I'm gonna give a suggestion. The dunk contest title is Money in the Bank now. You can be challenged anywhere at any time if you are the dunk contest champion. More like 24/7. You just say, LeBron James, I am challenging you at halftime of your game. You have to do a dunk contest against me.
The NBAPA would not let him risk injury every week.
Yeah, but imagine. It's just like, oh my God, it's Zion! He's coming down from the rafters!
But what's the stakes? Just the title, you're a better dunker?
I mean,
we changed it from a trophy to a belt.
Yeah, you can have like cash considerations. I don't care.
Don't know.
I just think it should be a year-long event. Don't have less, have more, and just be like, yeah, I was watching this random league pass game. Like, I was watching the Detroit Magic game, and then out of nowhere, like LeBron came rolling up. That would make every game more exciting.
Is it a fine if you don't do it?
You lose the belt.
No, but what? So if you win the dunk contest,
you're agreeing to always defend it.
Who gets the belt to start?
Oh, it's next year at the 2022 All-Star game. We'll have the inaugural.
Simons has it.
Yeah, but no, we actually have like
next year.
No, this dunk contest
because people want this belt. I don't know why they want it, but basically, no, I know why you want it. You're a young star. You want to, like, make a name for yourself. You could, like, promote the heck out of yourself.
If you're holding the belt, you get an automatic bid to the All-Star game.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
So there's something there.
You enter the Royal Rumble. Like, I don't care. You get something.
Or we could do something where it's like we get Nike to sponsor the dunk contest. And if you win the dunk contest, you become a Nike-sponsored athlete.
Yeah, or like...
Get a signature shoe.
Or just like, you get, like, $100,000 for each week that you hold the belt. And that way, even in the off season, you still have content.
But I do agree with Dave. I think the dunk contest needs a break, because, I mean, how many times can we see, like, I feel like they're running short on ideas.
I think you guys don't. Okay, imagine it's the national anthem. Everybody is standing and or kneeling. And then just out of nowhere, it's just like giant dunk, and it's just like graphic. And it's like, you have been challenged, and you got to defend it right now before we let Fergie finish this song. I'm completely all in on this idea.
So then how do you get to, let's say you don't have the money in the bank. Let's say I win the dunk contest, you're the champion, and I challenge you, but you win. How does somebody else get to challenge you? Or is there only one challenge a year?
No, not one challenge a year. You get to, anybody
contenders?
Can challenge at any time, but you can only, let's say you can only be challenged once a week. So you got to have a little bit of booking in here. You got to have a little bit of foreplanning. Maybe get on, like, the queue.
Yeah.
Maybe so be like, you have to have an all-NBA at some point in your career. Oh, like,
this,
defensive
this
qualifications
rookie. To get in.
There's got to be at least, like, honestly, no qualifications. No qualifications. But you got to be like, oh, because then after a while, it's just going to be like, it's Anfernee Simons versus Cade Cunningham.
But you got to make it somewhat, like, hard to be able to, like, contend.
Stop
like, winning
dreams.
The money in the bank should be this big thing. You could challenge whenever, but like after that's used, how does somebody else get an opportunity?
You know, Logan, he's kind of just come up with this on the fly. Let's let him workshop it.
I'll come back next week.
Next week, we'll
pitch it to the NFLPA.
Well, that goes back to my Belichick week, which I think is.
We have had so many.
Did we ever go in depth on the Belichick week on this podcast?
Never on this podcast. I don't think you and I have talked for hours about Belichick.
We have talked about the Belichick week nonstop.
Let's introduce the podcast. To the fans, to the Belichick idea.
So, Bill Belichick, greatest head coach in NFL history.
No doubt.
I believe that just 1 week with Bill Belichick would be career-changing, or not career, yeah, career-changing for some people. It would be life-altering. It would be franchise.
Instant team turnaround.
Instant turnaround. Bill Belichick is hired by the NFL. He is now a free agent head coach that is not allowed to sign more than a 1 week contract with any single team at a time. So Bill Belichick begins bouncing around from team to team to team, and it's basically like undercover boss.
Is it off? is it off season or during the season?
It's during the season.
Okay. So you can pick like you can only have one a year, right? So you can strategically play.
I guess that's fair because if I get Belichick the week of like say the draft.
Yeah, there's ping pong balls, and everybody gets to choose when they want their Belichick week. They get to choose after they've had their schedule. It's like, man, like, we think we're a playoff contender, but, like, we've got a stretch of really hard games at the end of the season. Bring in your Belichick week, and you get ready for the ride.
Yeah.
And that could also help head coaches. Maybe that's a tough back-to-back, and you're thinking, well, I'll have Belichick come in this week. I'll start thinking about the week after.
Yeah.
He'll take this week. We're ready to go next week. I'll treat it like a head coaching bye.
Also, if you're I'm coaching the Cardinals, and my Belichick week is right after the Rams Belichick week. Belichick can come in and tell me what the Rams are.
Oh yeah, Belichick,
because he cheats all the time.
A lot of strategy,
and how much you let Bill. Here's the thing: you just let Bill in. Yeah. You're running the Patriots offense
because
that week.
Bill's like, he has no royalties once he's gone.
No, he doesn't.
So then
he gives out all the coaches, like, his playbook, like, in a safe. And then when he shows up, he opens the safe and he's like, this is what we're running this week.
Yes. And then, to go even a level further, you could trade for Belichick weeks. And then we could say, I will trade you 2 first round picks in our next 3 years Belichick weeks. And then if you're the Texans, you're being run horribly. You get Bill Belichick for 2 weeks out of the year. I'll die on the Belichick.
You can't use him for playoffs or Super Bowls, right? Once you're in the postseason.
No, once you're in the postseason, then he starts doing like hits on ESPN and FS1 and just like starts talking crap about everyone.
He gives this
that
review.
That 30 for 30, though, would be even better.
Oh, my
God.
Because
it'd be like the 30 for 30 as a head coach. Then it'd be like, now let's talk about his 10-year stint during the Belichick week era.
You probably wouldn't want your Belichick week during the NFL draft. He normally misses on those. But
no, it's in season.
Maybe you
want
to. I would think week like 6 or 7 would be like pristine. You know,
once bye weeks start, we start throwing in Belichick weeks.
I think you should throw them in week one.
No, I'm thinking when I would
want
to use.
Yeah,
I would want my Belichick week during a bye.
Because oh, then you get a whole week of coaching.
I'm just getting Belichick every day, and he's gonna plan my season.
I just imagine like you're just like a normal football team, like you're the Rams, like laid back, like easy going, whatever. And then like after your Belichick week, it just do your job. Are you doing
all
your
the
job?
Players have to do interviews to his specifications.
Yeah,
it would be interesting. Listen, I've been in on the Belichick week for a while.
The Belichick week is coming soon to
NFL.
To elite
if you're listening, Belichick week.
We were talking about
back,
the All-Star
back
game.
Back to the All-Star game. The skills challenge. The skills challenge has become a big man award at this point.
I don't know how Luka threw.
It's really well. He was a big man like last year. Yeah. I don't know. I think. Then there's no big man activities in the skills challenge. I say throw in some rebounding, throw in some like post D, some box out.
I would rather
nice, like,
shoot myself in the face than watch
you gotta
a 30
set,
minute box out.
You gotta set, no, you got to set a solid screen on Draymond Green, and then you go do all like the skill crap.
And now
there are big man
the
skills.
Screen assist competition.
There are big man skills that are
rim.
Not being shown. There are big man skills that are not being shown.
I think instead of a skills competition, we should just pick a stupid competition that we watch NBA athletes play, like badminton.
Oh, just like completely different sports.
Or what other skills can they do?
Yeah, because
water
they all
polo.
Play basketball. That's skills we know they have. But who's good at horseshoes?
Yeah, the Pro Bowl's got it right.
We tell them until the day of. We get there and they walk out and they see what it is. And they're like, ugh, I suck at paintball. Bad.
We pick, and it's just, you pick random all-star game participants so that
yeah.
No one's prepared. And
who's
then
the best at baking?
I get to watch.
Out. This whole crowd is going to watch you try to bake muffins.
I get to watch Giannis and Vukovic in a beanbag race.
See,
when it doesn't even reach their knees.
See, that's kind of what my idea for fixing the skills competition was, but it was integrating basketball skills at the same time. So it's like after your passes and like after your dribbling, then like you cook a perfect souffle or you beat Bobby Flay.
Or you could have like each team.
Oh, that should be it.
You have to beat Bobby Flay.
But not in cooking, just different stuff.
It's like just, it turns into Shaq versus.
Or it could turn into, we could make the skills challenge relay. Team versus team relay, kind of like what they do in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Where it's just a series of random things and you just make them do it.
Oh,
I like the cooking though. Like you put them in an apron and a chef's hat.
The whole stadium is dark and they walk out and then they raise the lights and they just see grills and the crowd goes crazy.
Yes. Bobby Flay, or no, it's an episode of Chopped. They just get a random, they get random stuff
yeah.
from the locker room,
and
they
the
have to make a dish.
It really
is. Fans and Guy Fieri, those are the only people that can judge.
I just imagine Guy Fieri going up to like LeBron, just being like, "Dude, your donkey sauce was
your donkey sauce was terrible, man."
Oh my god.
It would be good.
Sorry, if I'm Guy Fieri, he'd say, "Your donkey sauce was terrible, brother."
You got eggs in that?
Yeah.
Hate eggs. Any more all-star changes you guys would want to make?
No, that's fine.
I think that sounds perfect.
I think the game itself is fine. It was just boring this year because there weren't any players.
No stakes.
I think the Elam ending should be in every NBA game.
Yeah.
I think the Elam ending is
just
fantastic.
Yeah. I like the Elam ending. I thought Steph solidified himself as the greatest shooter ever this weekend. I mean, he won another 3-point contest. He was hitting half quarters. He also caught a lob from Chris Paul. That was weird.
My favorite thing about the whole Steph Curry is the LeBron just being like, "Oh, Curry," and then I think he backtracked and was like, "I guess Dame's good too," or something along those lines.
I feel bad for Dame.
Because Dame is having, like, the exact same season
as
Steph right now.
Dame is a great player that's just being overshadowed by an all-time great Stephen Curry.
And that happens.
And
that's
just
part of the game.
It's just a shame. He's not going to be – I feel like he's not going to be – it. because I don't think he's going to win a championship.
Yeah, but if you're Steph, you get to, like, big brother, little brother him. Yes! You go basically, like, you have your fun in the All-Star game,
no,
buddy.
No, that's basically what's happening.
I've won 3 championships. You can do whatever you want, big guy.
He's like, man, that game winner in the All-Star game was great.
I won 74 games. That's just the ultimate argument winner.
Do you think he talks to him like that?
I think
he should start.
I mean, because this year especially, they have, like, such similar stats, and everybody's comparing them nonstop. If you're him, you just like, oh yeah, congrats, you're doing this. I won 3 championships. He just whispers in his ear.
Cool. Your stats. You and I look like the same on paper. Too bad.
You have Dame time.
I'm a winner. You're
I
not.
I murdered you without our best player. Yes. I ended your whole career by myself.
I won without Kevin Durant.
But you and CJ go have fun being the best backcourt.
Yeah.
Oh, Blake Griffin buyout. We didn't talk about that.
Yes, and other NBA news, Blake Griffin is signing with the Nets. He bought out his contract and signed with the Nets. So then now they've now out-LeBroned. The Nets have now out-LeBroned in the fact that they're playing with all their friends now.
They are.
LeBron gets 2-3 friends. They have all of their friends. You got Lob City.
I mean this in the nicest way possible. I'd rather have Jeff Green. I'm sorry. Like, Blake Griffin, he can't dunk over Kias anymore. Like, he looked bad. Like, if he just spends the rest of the regular season rehabbing and just, like, being like, guys, I wasn't right. Let me go in the playoffs. Like, I'll be ready. I would believe that. It would be so fun if we could actually have a Blake Griffin, like, final resurgence. Like, one last, like, push.
He still can.
I just don't know.
I'd love to see him win the whole thing. I like Blake Griffin.
I think he was playing. He was unhappy on the Pistons, and he said, I mean, he sat out all last month.
It's a good move for his comedy career. He's moving to Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's
right.
For him.
He's way more spots to do stand-up. Apparently KD was the one who recruited him.
Well, he was like boys with Kyrie too. Like, they came up together in AAU.
And he's also best friends with DeAndre.
Yeah.
Lob City.
This is the saddest Lob City reunion possible.
I don't think so. They're winning. They're the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, they're not doing it. It's the Luke Walton championship.
Knowing what you know about Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Do you think they care they're not the reason they're winning?
No, probably not.
No. I think Blake Griffin's just happy to be out of Detroit.
Yeah,
I think he could be literally anywhere else, and he would be more than happy.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I wonder how good his relationship is with Drummond. If Drummond is bought out, if his relationship with him from the time in Detroit would be enough to maybe pull him to Brooklyn instead of him going to the Lakers.
Could they even afford him at this point? Like, even if it's league minimum?
Brooklyn will just cut, like, 4 other bench players.
Okay,
that
but
I don't
even
know.
If they bring in Drummond, that's taking away the Blake Griffin minutes. Because Claxton's, like, a legit guy. Jeff Green's, like, a legit guy. You're not going
to
find room
Griffin
for 4 plus Blake Griffin.
Maybe KD's playing chess out here. Thinking, I guess Sure, we'll take you, Blake. You'll be a real part of the team. And then he gets Drummond here, and we're like, all right, sit on the bench, idiot. Go tell your jokes.
Don't you feel stupid, you little... Ha ha, ha ha, go be in train wreck.
No, that was...
That was John Cena.
That was John Cena. And LeBron James.
Blake Griffin
they're the
movies?
Same. I'm sure.
No. He did some roasts. I think he roasted...
Caitlyn Jenner,
yeah. He did pretty
good. Yeah. But I don't know, maybe I'd love for Blake to step up, maybe get back to his 3-point shooting, maybe like rim graze dunk next to somebody. That would be cool.
You guys, come on. He's still 6'10". He can dunk.
No, his
basketball.
Knees are shot. He hasn't dunked in a year.
I don't want to see
year.
Him get up there.
Just because he hasn't doesn't mean he
it
can't.
It makes me nervous.
I don't want to see it. It's like watching
Plus,
Luke Kuechly play 2 years ago.
Threes.
Every single tackle makes you want to win.
No, I want to see him shoot threes.
He can shoot
threes. Shoot
threes. He can dribble
defense.
And pass.
Yeah, that's why he'll be fine. Because when you have KD, Kyrie, and James Harden, he's going to be sitting in a corner. But what I'm saying is, he's just going to be either sitting in the corner or trying to get rebounds. But if you're trying to get rebounds, I'd much rather have, like, the young, more young athletic people who don't have shot knees making that going in for that.
Yeah, but Jeff Green's not friends with Kyrie, Logan.
Jeff Green's also not young.
And he's probably not as funny.
No, he's probably way more funny. Are the Nets the favorites now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because KD rested the All-Star game.
So, you don't see any way that it's like the 76ers.
Unless they do something
with
crazy.
Crazy defense, and then they get like Buddy Hield. Do you think that could do
they
something?
They would need someone other than Joel Embiid to shoot their threes.
We still haven't had my center shooting threes podcast, but it's coming, I promise.
We'll get there. I looked up the
I'm not doing anything right now. Center, stop shooting threes. I don't want you taking seven a game.
I'm sorry. Right, Vukovic trail three is cash money always.
Trail three is the best play in basketball.
The only center I want shooting more than seven threes a game, or more than five threes a game, is Cat. And I don't want Cat on my team.
No.
Cat's the all-time best scorer.
I don't like Cat.
Center. I don't like him either.
No.
But he's shooting 40-something percent from three.
It's because he's afraid of the paint. That's where people make him feel sad.
Yeah, that's what
Cat's afraid
feel
to feel anything other than good.
I'm fine with centers shooting threes, but I don't like them shooting like more than five. When KP shoots seven a game, I'm like, dude.
He's not even a center.
My take for the last 3 years was I hated seeing Joel Embiid because Joel Embiid was like the poster child for this because he would shoot seven threes a game and every single one of them would look awful. But now he's doing one shot fadeaway at the 3-point line to send the game to overtime against the Jazz.
And cashing it.
And looking amazing at it. So like that, he's off my argument, but he was like the main reason for the argument for the first 3 years, or for the last 3 years.
Vukovic
are you fine with,
threes?
Like, Miles Turner shooting, like, two every game?
I would rather Miles Turner just
can Miles Turner make one?
He shoots two to three every game.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would rather
he's
him
got
just
crazy arc.
If I am the coach for Miles Turner, I'm telling him to run from paint to paint. And if he leaves that paint, other than to avoid a violation, he's getting benched.
Yeah.
You are tall. You block shots. Gobert does this
Jokic
better than anyone.
Threes.
That it's what Jokic or not Jokic. What Gobert does is he runs down to the court, he sits down in the paint, and he says, "I am not moving."
Well,
he stays
not,
there.
I don't even think he's
and
capable.
He'll block the crap out of anybody who comes there.
I don't think he's even capable of shooting a jumper. I don't think he's ever shot a jumper in his life. I think he was born to be 7'1", and the French said,
"Yeah,
block shots."
And then what happens is when they go on defense or when they go on offense. He goes, he sets a screen, and then, like, he gets all those screen assists that all those metrics guys love.
Yeah.
And he sets screens, and then he goes down, and he lives in the paints, and he gets tap-ins.
Yeah.
Do that forever, everyone.
What about
please,
Jokic?
Please, God.
What about Jokic shooting threes?
He's fine, because he's a 7'3 point guard.
You see, you don't
him,
like center shooting threes.
Him.
Joel's good.
Him.
Jokic.
I'm not saying I'm saying most centers, not elite playmaker. There are three that I'm fine with. And that are I'm fine with taking more than five a game. It's it's Jokic.
Boban can shoot the ball.
Boban can shoot the ball. How do we know they're not good if they don't shoot it though? Like how do I know Taco Fall isn't
because Taco
or
Fall is 7 feet tall and can't make a free throw.
He's 7'5". He's 7'5". He doesn't have to
do
jump.
You know, if they can make more than if they can hit 90% of their free throws, every percentage point above
90%. Don't do 90.
For a center, shooting over 80 would be ideal.
How about give him 75?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Let me see. How do I know DeAndre Ayton?
Because then things start underhanding him. Rick Barry.
Let DeAndre Ayton shoot a three. Let him shoot a couple.
No.
The Suns are the second best team in the West right now. Let him shoot a three.
I would rather die than watch DeAndre Ayton take a three.
Oh, my God. Hey.
That's the second time you said you'd rather die.
Yes. There's a lot of things.
That it's all center related.
Your life is teetering around centers right now.
Yes, because I'm tired of NBA basketball.
Should we just get rid of the position?
I'm not saying that.
If you're over 6'10", you can't play basketball.
No. Ben Simmons, 6'11", not a center.
But if he could shoot threes.
Okay, if you can guard
Giannis in the All-Star game.
Ben Simmons.
If you can guard everyone on the court, you can shoot as many threes as you want. How about that?
Ben Simmons can shoot threes.
Ben Simmons is allowed to shoot threes.
He can't. I don't know. The one three, he's made like two this year, But the one
that was so stupid.
The one that like ruined
the casual one?
The casual one in overtime when they were down six, where he shot from like he shot from like the letters.
Yeah.
It looked so casual, like he did it every day of his life, and it was cash.
Oh, I loved it though.
I was like, oh my god. Ben, why don't you just shoot? And then Giannis with his step back three in the All-Star game almost ruining his perfect 16 for 16. Reggie Miller was did not want him to take that shot. I mean, I'm all for centers. Centers, shoot threes. Shoot threes, centers.
If Giannis spent all of the time that he spent practicing a three-point shot into his inside game, he would be Shaq,
is what I'm saying. He already is. He doesn't need to work on his inside game.
He could be great.
He is great.
He's great.
He's
but
a two-time MVP.
I understand that.
His inside game is
always going to be. It's always been with Giannis. It's, when is he going to unlock that three-point shot? He doesn't need it. He was a two-time MVP, barely shooting over 30% from three. He doesn't need it.
I think he's not MVP.
I'm not saying he needs it, but hey, if you want to take a three, take a three.
Especially when my thing with Giannis shooting the three is they leave him open at the top of the key so often. I do agree.
Yeah, because
maybe put some post stuff, but if you're going to get that shot all the time, you got to learn how to knock it down.
No, I agree that Giannis is a very specific example because he has about four people in the paint at all times trying to clog him up. So I understand the concept of him like wanting. I understand why he wants to take five threes a game. Fine, whatever. Giannis is an MVP. He's allowed to.
If he takes five threes and makes two, it's justified.
If you're not an elite center or you are a specific unicorn-type player like Kat, where you're known for your three-point shooting.
How many three-pointers can Cody Zeller take a game?
None. Cody Zeller is
Cody,
on a team.
Cody, you can take five threes a game.
Now, I think.
Cody, shoot five.
How many threes a game do you want Bismack Biyombo taking, Dave?
I don't want Bismack Biyombo on the floor.
But I want him to take a three because I think it'll get Michael Jordan to walk on the court and hit him in the head like he did to Malik Monk when he missed the layup.
I think he would just cut Bismack. I think Michael Jordan would walk on and cut him. That's if he comes or watches the games. I'm not sure of either.
How about this? At the beginning of every single season, you have every single player on your team, they have to shoot 100 threes. And if they do not make 30... They're not allowed to shoot threes for the rest of the day.
In practice all the Steph Curry shoots 100 threes every day.
Yeah, but like a simulated game. Like you have somebody in your face.
He still does. Like they have, you know.
But Steph Curry's different. I want to see Bismack Biyombo.
I want to see him play
93s.
If Bismack Biyombo is able to somehow hit 35 threes.
Because that's here's the thing.
In a game scenario.
What if Steven Adams gets hot that day and he's just chucking them one-handed?
He hits 36.
I would say Steven Adams, why are you on this team? Zion Williamson should just be a five. But also a one at the same time.
I don't care.
Why did he shoot the first one? Like how did we find out that he was good, that he was hot from three?
Is Zion allowed to shoot threes under your...
Zion can do whatever he wants. Zion's beautiful, and I love him.
Also, I think the center should be... That's the position where it's like, we got 2 seconds, we got an inbound from our own side. It's going to be a Hail Mary pass. The center should be the guy that's just lobbing
it. Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the oof.
They got the
they
height.
They got the muscle.
They got the height. I've seen Steven Adams make a half quarter like that. Just let them inbound it to them, and
I think
everybody should be allowed to shoot. But I agree that not most centers should not shoot five times. But
put
I do
the
think
shackles
every center
on.
Should be able to shoot a three.
I'm not saying that they if obviously
except for Bismack, he can't
in reality, if you get a wide open three and you're
this
an NBA
coming,
player, you should be able to hit it.
Logan is a firm believer in if it's a long two, it's trash.
Yeah.
Don't take it.
Might as well turn it over.
Hand it to them.
If it's an open shot, you take it.
Okay. But if it's a long two, I've taken a long two, and it was open, and you were like, Eric, take a step back.
Well, in that
case... Take it to the hole or take a step back.
Unless it's traveling, like, you might as well. that extra foot isn't going to knock your percentage points down that much.
Yeah, but I don't know. You don't know where you are sometimes. Sometimes it's, I'm open.
Hey, and these are professionals. They got tape.
Yeah.
They know what to do.
Some of them are good at making mid-range
shots.
If
I'm out on the court, I'm not going to yell at you just being like, dude, you were like 2 feet in front of the three-point line like nine times that last game. Unacceptable. You're on the bench.
I mean, one of KD's best shots is a mid-range, too.
Yeah, because
I'm not going to tell KD not to take that.
Because he's so long.
I won't tell KD anything.
KD can do whatever he wants. I think any argument goes out the window when you're talking about elite playmakers.
They're all in the NBA, though. So it's like, come on. They all can make a three. They all can shoot.
I don't want Nick Batum taking long twos. I don't want...
He's been one of their better three-point shooters.
Yeah, he's taking threes. He's been good for threes. Yeah.
I hope this podcast is titled Logan Hates Centers.
Logan Hates Centers is what we've gotten down to. unless you're Joel Embiid.
Unless you're an elite center, I think you're replaceable.
So unless you're good, if you're a center, if you're not good, Logan doesn't like you. So
all I'm saying is it's not the 1980s anymore. Just because you're over 7 feet tall doesn't mean that you're going to be great. If you bring something else to the table, like you can, you're Giannis, you can get to the rim whenever you want.
Is Giannis a center, though?
Giannis is a...
He's a four.
He's a 4'5". He's 7 feet tall.
So, what about Kelly Olynyk, who's kind of a center, but he sucks in the paint?
Yeah, he's good at shooting threes.
That's all he does.
No, fours and fives have basically turned into each other, basically,
he's
in
like
the modern
tall,
NBA.
Isn't he?
If you're 7 feet, but you can shoot, everybody calls you a forward. In reality, Giannis is a center, but you can play him as a forward because he has those additional abilities.
I think the difference in being a center and a forward is your dribbling and passing ability.
Yeah, so basically, if you suck, you're a center. If you are a worse player, you're a center.
I don't want Vukovic to bring the ball down, but I would give Vukovic a three-point shot.
No, I completely agree with you. If you are a center... That means that you are just a forward who cannot dribble, and I don't want you taking threes.
Unless you're like one of eight players.
Unless you're over 7'2", and your name is Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, unless you're one of the ones that Logan likes.
Not Bam Adebayo. I love you, baby.
Well, Bam Adebayo's not 7 feet tall. So.
Yeah, but he's really good.
Yeah.
But he's a forward because he's got skills.
These are your arguments.
That's what you said.
No, I'm throwing your
points back in
your face.
You said if they have skill, if they can dribble, and they can shoot.
I said that's how I differentiate forwards from centers.
Yeah,
and you were just
centers
like,
are just worse than forwards.
You were like, if you're 7 foot, you're a center. And I'm like, well, Bam's 6'10".
No, I was using your logic. I think that you are like over 7 feet, like that is like the classic. Like, you would be considered a center.
We're thinking a traditional center.
Yes, you are a traditional center in, like, the normal aspect of the term.
There's, like, but one traditional center in the NBA, and it's Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
And Rudy Gobert, too.
Look how great he's doing.
Rudy's doing pretty good.
Rudy Gobert's doing great, but he's boring.
Everyone else has got a three-point shot.
And I'm saying they don't need it! That's going to wrap it up for today's episode of Sandy and the Blowfish Podcast.
Logan hates centers.
I hate centers. Thank you so much for to Chairs for sponsoring this podcast.
Thank you, Chairs.
Do we have a quick shout out before we go?
Nope.
I just wanted to shout out the greatest All-Star MVP of all time, and that's Glenn Rice.
Ooh.
We
didn't
first
talk about
MVP,
Mike Conley.
He was an MVP in 1997. Michael Jordan, first ever triple-double in an All-Star game, still didn't win MVP. Go Glenn Rice. Glenn Rice is better than Jordan.
Wow.
Glenn Rice better than Michael
Rice.
Jordan. Logan hates centers. Thank you, Chairs.
Thank you, Chairs. Also, Mike Conley didn't deserve to be an All-Star. End it!